in the next chapters that he asked the church, the established church, he challenges them to expand their thinking into this new revelation. And this expansion and this new introduction is challenging. It's challenging to Peter. We see that several times after this chapter where Peter really struggles with how do I incorporate myself into this newfound revelation? When I'm coming out of a tradition that says, this isn't what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to have an association with Gentiles. I'm not supposed to eat with them. I'm not supposed to go into their house. I'm not supposed to eat certain foods. And I am supposed to eat certain foods. And all of this is new to Peter as God begins to make a revelation in his life so that he can expand the kingdom. It's a big challenge for him because he's confronted at various times in the scriptures with this question. Now, he settles it in our chapter today. There's no question that he goes to Cornelius' house and he preaches the gospel and he sees the Holy Spirit baptize the believers. And so he has no problem believing it right now with a manifestation as powerful from God as that. But what he gets as he goes along, he begins to find, when I'm with the Gentiles, I have no problem. But when Jews come into the crowd with me, with Gentiles, then I kind of find myself stepping back a little bit, not quite as confident. What do I do with this new revelation? The church leaders have the same problem. You'll read in the next chapter where the council comes together to address this very issue that happens here. And they struggle with exactly how do we implement this Gentile nation into the expansion of God's kingdom and a new revelation. They struggle with this several times throughout the scriptures. And so it would not be odd for God to come to you and to me and ask us to participate in the expansion of his kingdom by giving us a new revelation. And us then struggling with that new revelation on how do we actually incorporate that into our lives. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. Because I believe that God is starting a new expansion in his kingdom. And he, in order to do that, is calling on his people who are called by his name to a new revelation of what it is that he expects me to do. What he expects my participation to be in this new expansion of his kingdom. And we can come every week to Bible studies and we can sit with our groups and we can expand our knowledge. And we can go to our churches and we can go to our Sunday school classes and we can expand our knowledge. And we can participate in social groups where Christians gather and expand our knowledge. But I believe it's time that you and I take on a new revelation of exactly what God needs us to do in order for him to expand his kingdom. Knowledge is wonderful and helpful and necessary, but so is participation. And just because we struggle with the new place that God may be calling us does not mean that we are not to be there. Just like Peter and just like the leaders of the first church struggled with this question of God's expanding kingdom with new revelation. And they had to incorporate that. They had to work with that. They had to overcome that. They had to even struggle with that. So I'm challenging us today to know that we may be struggling or we may be challenged, and that's okay. I still believe that God is calling us to step up to a new revelation of what he wants to do and what he needs to do to expand the kingdom of God on the face of the earth today. So as I was studying this and as I was studying the story in the scriptures of Peter, new revelation, how to include Gentiles, the Spirit of God speaking to Cornelius saying, send people to Peter. Speaking to Peter saying, there's going to be people coming and I want you to go with them. It's okay. This is a new place for you and a new place that I'm going to be taking the church. God is asking us the same thing. And so as I begin to read that, he began to bring a revelation to me about my own life. And so I want to show you what he's revealing to me and ask you to come along with me in this journey. As God expands his kingdom and he asks us to be part of his plan, this requires a revelation revealing to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here today to work with the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. As God includes us in his expansion, he's asking for a major changes in our life. What would God ask of you? What changes in your life would God need to reveal to you in order for you to become a participant in the expansion of his kingdom? Okay, I'll tell you what he told me. Let's do an exercise. By answering this question that God asked Peter. Except instead of answering the question in the terms of the church and how he's going to expand the kingdom in that time, I'm going to ask it for us personally. I passed out on your table plain white sheets of paper. I would like for you to take this plain white sheets of paper and fold them into thirds. I don't care how you do that, just fold them into a third. All right? Sheet number one. Let me give you an example. This is God's revelation to me for this lesson. Let's imagine that God drops a sheet down in front of you, as he did with Peter. And ask inside, and inside, you would see one thing that the Holy Spirit reveals that is a challenge to you. What would that be? In your sheet. Let me give you an example of myself. This is God's revelation for me. Here's one thing that is hindering me and that would be in my sheet. People. If I didn't have to deal with people, I would be a really good saint. But inside of my sheet are people that are hindering me from being all that I can be for the expanding work of the kingdom of God. And why would they be people that would be hindering me? Because how I deal with these people in myself, and how God wants me to deal with them out of his word. And I default automatically to myself, how I would deal with them. So, if people are in my sheet, these are people that I judge. These are people that I tell God how to deal with them. These are people that challenge me in my own faith walk. These are people who challenge me in my act of forgiveness. And these new people dropped into my sheet over the holidays. So I have some new people. I want you to turn with me as a scripture. I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew 7. I know the people are in the sheet. I know who they are. I know how I respond to them. I know how crazy they make me. And I know how to fix the problem if God would just listen to me. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2 says this. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the people in this sheet that I judge bring judgment back on me. And the way that I measure this judgment on them is how God measures it back to me. And I don't like that. I don't want to be measured by how I measure other people. I don't want judgment. I want justice. But I want judgment for the people in my sheet. So as I go through my life dealing with these people in my sheet, it hinders me because I won't do what the Scripture says. See, in the story of Peter, the sheets being dropped down was a good thing. Because it began to give him a revelation to the new expanding kingdom of God that God had was going to work out. And Peter needed to be a part of that. And in order to do that, he needed to understand that I am including people that I have excluded before. Same thing here, Tricia. In order for you to start working at the full capacity of what I need you to do for the expansion of the kingdom of God, whether it's ministry or whether it's just in my personal relationships, whether it's in my family relationships, whether it's in the dynamics of who I am, these people are hindrances. And here is a good verse for you to stand on. So as you try to be an overcomer and you try to adjust to this challenge of these people in your sheet, these are ways that you can do that. You can say to yourself, I don't want God to judge me, so I need to stop judging them. And I need to stop the record, the recording that goes around and around in my head on how these people should be judged by God. I need to do one thing, and that is to do what it says in Luke chapter 6, where it says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, do to others as you would have them do to you. These people in this sheet, I need to look at them differently and say, okay, a lot of these people in this sheet are non-believers, and I want them to act like a believer. They're acting just like they're supposed to be acting. They're non-believing, and I can pray till doomsday that they'll act differently, and they won't because their eyes are blinded, and so they don't have a revelation. So I just need to pray, Lord, give them a revelation of your love. I need to pray for these people and bless these people and not curse them. One sheet down, people. In Romans chapter 12, 17 and 18, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, if it is possible. For as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I can tell you, I do not live at peace with these people. I can tell you, I want to live at peace with these people. And I'm going to make it a goal, as God challenges me through the power of the Holy Spirit, to begin to address these people in my sheet the way the Word of God tells me. On your piece of paper, on the first fold of the first three sections, what would be in your sheet? You don't have to share it with anybody. You don't have to tell anybody. What would be in your sheet? Now the challenge for you, not today, not sitting here, is to find scriptures that you can write at the bottom maybe of that sheet that says, this is how the Holy Spirit wants me to deal with the people in my first sheet. In our story, the sheet comes down three times. Second sheet. Now, Peter sees the same thing in his second sheet, but I didn't get to see the same thing in my sheet. My second sheet is thoughts. Inside the sheet that dropped down is my way of thinking. Now, you can already see my way of thinking reflected in the people that are in my first sheet, but this is me in the second sheet. How do I expect to be a participant in the kingdom of God if I have my thinking wrong? Well, how do I have my thinking wrong? I'm a believer. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. I read the scriptures. So how do I have my thinking wrong? I have my thinking wrong because I use my own intellect, my own self, my own doubts, my own fears, my own negatives to talk to myself and to talk to the people in the first sheet. But the scriptures have a way that I could do it God's way. By using the scriptures, I could change the outcome of my thinking. Turn with me to Philippians 4:8. And the reason it's important for you to turn is so you actually see that. Because you won't remember the scriptures I tell you unless you write them down, unless you turn to them. You know where they are in your Bible. You already know this one, but let's turn to it and read it. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters, what is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when the sheet comes down and my thoughts are in it, I see unclean thoughts. How do I know they're unclean thoughts? Because I can look at the scriptures and I can say, these are the things I'm supposed to think about. So when I am in my journey of thinking, how do they, those thoughts line up with this? This is the plumb line for measuring whether you're thinking God kingdom thoughts, or you're thinking just everyday Trisha Langley, whatever America society, whatever kind of mood, whatever kind of mental state you're in, that's the thoughts that come to my mind. But God is asking, just like He's asking Peter, I need you to think about the kingdom of God differently. I need you. God is saying He needs us to participate in His expanding kingdom. And in order to do that, Trisha Langley needs to get her thoughts lined up with the Word of God. And this is me saying, does this line up? Is this right thinking? Is this the truth? Is there anything praiseworthy in what I'm thinking about the people in my first sheet? Probably not. So, what's in your second sheet? Open your paper, the second fold, right at the top, what would be in your second sheet? There's several other scriptures I want you to at least write them down, and if you want to turn to them, I'll give you a second to do that. I need you to look at 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. This is a verse for my life. I use it every time I teach. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension, that's an imagination or a reasoning, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The reason this verse is so important to me, it's because my imagination exalts itself against the knowledge that I have of God every day. And the thoughts in this sheet and the people in the first sheet test that every day. So I have to say to myself, Tricia, is this what I'm supposed to be thinking about? Are these the thoughts I'm supposed to having? And I have to say, is this an imagination of my own that is exalting itself against what I really know about God? God, you have abandoned me. You have forsaken me. I don't know where you are. That is not true. The truth is, that's my imagination exalting itself against the knowledge that I have of God, that He's faithful, that He loves me, that I'm the apple of His eye, that I shine like the stars in the sky, that He hears my prayers. So it's easy for my thoughts in this sheet to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So I need to have a scripture that says, think this way and measure it according to this. There's one more that's important to me, and that, I mean, they're all important. There's a bunch of them, but Romans 12:2 that says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what is God's will, what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If I can stand on the scriptures, because you and I know the scriptures have power. These same words written by Shakespeare are written in a great novel, do not have the power they do from the Word of God. So the first sheet are the people. My second sheet is thoughts. Third time. See, third time up, third time down. What's in your sheet the third time? On your piece of paper. You fold it three times. Write down the third time what would be in your sheet. My sheet. This is really good for reputation, you know that? My sheet are words. If you spent the day with me, you would find I have lots of words, and that would not surprise you, right? Words would be in my sheet. People, thoughts, and words. For God to bring me revelation into the things that He wants to do in expanding His kingdom, and I want to be a participant of that, I need to work on my words. Because I believe with all of my heart that words have creative power. And when we speak words, they create a reality. Negatively or positively. And I find a lot of words are negative in my vocabulary. They come out of negative thinking, probably. They come out of people that are in my sheet, but they come out of me. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke 6, 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Want to measure what your heart's full of? Listen to what words you use. Especially when you're talking about people in your sheet, if there were people in your sheet. I spent a whole day talking about somebody that just recently dropped into my sheet. I told God everything that He could do to make this work for this person. Now, this person is a non-believing person. Why would I think they're ever going to have any of the qualities? They're a good person, but I told him a whole day, an afternoon of everything that he could do to straighten out this person. At the end of the day, I had to go back through all of that stuff that I had said because I believe that words have power, creative power. And though I never cursed this person, I just told God how He could curse this person, how He could straighten this person out. I had to ask God to redeem those words. Since He can go into the future and He can go into the past, and because I believe they have creative power, He began to convict me. As He was convicting, the Holy Spirit was already convicting me. He was saying, be quiet, Tricia. Stop now. In your anger, don't sin. Tricia, easy, easy. But do you think I listened to that Holy Spirit speaking to me while I was giving out these words? No. And these thoughts, no. To this person, no. But I did go back and start praying the right way for this person. And my new person in my sheet. So there is hope, I hope. Next, Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is my word that comes out from my mouth, that it does not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes in which I sent it." This is God talking. And what he's saying to me and you is, what is in this word, I watch over. I watch over this word to accomplish what I sent it to do. So when we use our own words, he's not watching over those words. He's watching over this. So when I want the creative power of the Almighty and the power of the Holy Spirit working, and I quote these scriptures that I've told you, and you find the scriptures that the Holy Spirit reveals to you about the things in your sheet, and you begin to quote those back, God watches over those words to accomplish them. So if I start praying, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me take captive every thought because my imagination is exalting itself against what I really know about God, then I have power to be an overcomer. And I have power to start putting those things underneath the Word of God. And they begin to manifest that begins to manifest in my life. And if you knew me years ago, which many of you did, I am better off than I was then. I'm not nearly as far as I need to go, but I'm further than I was in claiming these words. There's another one that says in Proverbs 13:3, it says, "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak harshly will come to ruin." How often I have spoken harshly and it has come to ruin. It's hurt people's feelings. It's hurt my feelings. There's validity in what I'm saying. In James chapter 1:26, it says, "Those who consider themselves righteous and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceives themselves, and their religion is worthless." I don't want my religion to be worthless. I want it to be a testimony to the power of God's changing my life and what God wants to do in my kingdom and his kingdom through me. So the third, you now have a sheet folded in thirds. You have at the top of those things that maybe the Holy Spirit's revealing to you. It's things that popped into your mind right now. You may reevaluate it. But the idea is find scriptures that you can stand on and make the commitment, the challenge, just like God asked Peter to make the challenge to go and do the difficult thing, the challenging thing. And that would be to start transforming our lives so that we can be the fullness of God as he expands his kingdom through us, through our influence, and whether that's just in our family, whether that's with our husbands, whether that's with our children, whether that's with our neighbors, whether it's with people that we bump into at social events or at church, it's a revelation of who God wants us to be. And we measure that revelation and we measure that up against what God is doing in his kingdom and what he's asking us to do through the power of his word. And this is where we get our power, is out of his word. It is not out of any other thing. This is the power. This is God's love letter to us, and it is the power to help us transform our lives in the areas that God is showing us. Now, maybe this exercise was too new for you right this minute. Maybe you don't know what would be in your sheet. But because you have studied this lesson, and I believe that God is preparing us, his family, for a major change so that we are equipped, trained, and empowered to the power of his word to shift in a direction as he prepares to expand his kingdom. As the Holy Spirit prepares us for these changes, God will empower us through his word to overcome the things that so easily beset us. Those are the things in the sheets. And help us shift our focus from the work he has prepared for the work that he has prepared for us in advance. See, you sit here today and you think, I don't really have an impact on the kingdom, but you do. And I do. Because God prepared a work in advance. So we can no longer just sit and say, you know, I'll be a good person. I'll go to church. I'll participate. But God needs us to step up and help Him expand the kingdom of God. And we need to do that through our testimony of our lives, the power of our words, and the love that we show for one another. God is calling you and me to a new challenge that will require adjustments in our relationship with Him. And I would ask, since you're studying the book of Acts and you're seeing how God is changing the lives in the first church, that we also say, I'm willing for you to change my life. God has prepared you. And I know that because 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as we live in the tent of this body. We need to be refreshed. We need to be reminded of the work that the kingdom of God is required of us. This is a prayer I pray many, many times over you, and so I will pray it in closing. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Amen.